Hare Krishna, I would like to summarize what I was trying to present to all of you during this 1 week, and I would like to also give you a little message which you can hopefully apply in your regular life. So, Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivesesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The sincere desire in presenting this 64 qualities to you was to make you, to make all of us, including myself, more aware of Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. There's one important word for those who wish to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, and it is absorption. By absorption, we can enter deeply into Krishna consciousness. Srila Jiva Goswami gives an interesting example for absorption. He speaks of a piece of cloth which is one color, let us assume white. When this cloth is put into another color, let us assume deep blue, then the cloth will absorb this color. That is, that it will stop being or appearing white, it will be actually dark blue. So, in Krishna consciousness, we really want to do the same thing as the dyer wishes to do with his cloth. We wish to absorb our minds so much in Krishna that we become Krishna conscious, or to use a word which Srila Prabhupada used, that we become Krishnarized. The aim of our sadhana is really to remember Krishna, smatavya satatam Vishnu, vismatavyo nayatuchit, and not forget Krishna. That is all. We are a school of absorption. This is our aim. Now, when you want to absorb yourself into, in this case, Krishna, you start with the name and you continue with the name. You absorb yourself in the holy name, but then, as you wish to go deeper, you absorb yourself also in Krishna's qualities. If I, for instance, think of little Satya, who I believe has captured all of our attention at one stage or another at the seminar, I will think of her way of dancing, I will think of her smile. I personally think that every morning she greets me with a traditional German handshake, shakes my hand. And these are all qualities through which a personality becomes revealed to us. So in the same way, Lord Krishna, if we want to remember Lord Krishna or become absorbed in Krishna, we need to think of his qualities really. Now, Sri Krishna displays a maximum amount of his qualities to the maximum depth here in the sacred land of Vrindavan. And you will be very pleased to hear that Krishna displays his qualities every day here at Govardhan. This part of Giriraj, starting from Manasa Ganga up to Puchery, where we went yesterday and had these beautiful bhajans at the Rasa Stali, this area is visited every day by Lord Krishna. Krishna doesn't come to with Balaram and his cowherd boyfriends, and he meets Shrimati Radharani in a cave which some of you visited yesterday. That's the remnant of the cave. The original cave is with nice lamps and so on. So every day Krishna is in this area. Krishna is not every day in Bandiravan. Krishna is not every day in Lohavan or the other areas in Vrindavan. He's every day here. And we felt that talking here about Lord Krishna and his wonderful qualities will hopefully bring Krishna, will absorb our mind more. I want to sincerely request all of you to do what many of the devotees who come to these retreats do. Make a picture in your heart of Giriraj. Then sometimes as you dream or sleep, or even if as you are awake in the Western world, you will remember Giriraj looking so nicely, attracting your fascination with his mystic call, "Come, come closer to me." And it will help you to absorb Krishna consciousness in your life. Please also do not be sad that you leave Giriraj's side, but make a plan, a concrete plan, which can help you to become absorbed in Krishna and his qualities during your stay in the West, or some of you are from India, and so on. One of you, I believe, comes from Assam, maybe you. Yes, you should make a plan what you can do in order to remain absorbed and do the main project of your life, to color your consciousness deep blue, to color it Krishna consciousness. This is very important. You must make a plan. Don't just leave it up to automatic events which happen in your life. And please talk to everyone you meet about the Giriraj retreat. We want to give this facility to other devotees as well, who feel a need to absorb their consciousness and color their minds deep blue. Yes. I would like to end my little retreat presentation with a meditation from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which you have already heard. But I think now you will be more ready to do the meditation. Please sit properly. please do a few deep exhalations and inhalations, and look towards Giriraj, and close your eyes, and now try to see from Sanatana Goswami's writing the different scenes which will unfold. Sometimes Krishna hides himself outside a corner of a gopi's house. He attracts the gopi's attention by making curious sounds. She quickly rises from bed carefully avoiding noise. Outside, she meets Krishna. Oh, it's you! And pleases him. During the day, Krishna arranges a soft resting place with leaves and flowers. In a grove selected for a meeting on the bank of the Yamuna, Krishna hears the sound of falling leaves, signaling that his beloved has arrived. He turns his face towards the path outside the grove, by which a gopi, on the pretext of fetching water from the Yamuna, has come. Sometimes at dusk, several gopis become intoxicated by hearing Krishna calling them with the sound of his flute. They run towards him hastily. Their garments, hair, and ornaments are in disarray. But when they meet him, he tries to turn them back with proud, deceptive words that cast them into despair. After they helplessly beg him to change his mind, he acquiesces, giving up his pretense. And when they realize that he was only joking with them, they become filled with joy, grab hold of the end of his yellow dhoti, and pull him into a nearby secluded grove. And now we will get you into another mood. Oh, that thief Krishna, the son of Yashoda, has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him, keep him away. Hearing this mannequin words spoken by the elderly gopi Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed laughs in ecstasy. But suddenly he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation, "Oh, I have achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands." Thus the devotee cries loudly, "Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer." The Lord then answers, "My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have come again before you." Upon seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotees begin to sing, "Today my life has become perfect." Thus overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. Hare Krishna, so when you are ready, you can please open your eyes again. One day we should come to the stage of chanting, where Lord Krishna and his qualities and his pastimes become automatically revealed. And this little presentation was meant to smear your Krishna, to get you looking into a spiritual direction, into the direction of Lord Krishna. I want to thank you very, very much for giving me the opportunity to address all of you at the Giriraj retreat. I hope to see many of you back next year, and I will now close by saying what I have learned from Burijan Prabhu. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai!
Louder.
Yeah. Oh, me or they?
You.
Oh, I was not perfect. Okay. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai! better?
Oh, it's great.
Thank you. Yes.
So now I'd like to ask Jagatvini Mataji.
So I was just trying to think this morning what I had wanted to bring to the retreat or to share with the devotees who were coming to the retreat. And I realized that during the year I had been thinking of different things I would like to present at this retreat, but our Gopinath had a different plan. And so rather than having the time to sit down and prepare everything as planned, 5 weeks before the retreat began, I found myself on a trip around the world. But it wasn't an exciting, dynamic tour, but rather it was a very intense and grueling endeavor to try to help somebody else to possibly try to save their life. So it was really interesting because along the way, I had a very strong feeling that I wasn't going to make it to the retreat at all. So sometimes in different places, I would think, oh, well, I should just be prepared for that. And then it would come into my mind again that, no, it would be so nice to be here with everyone by Govardhan. So I began to do my little artwork here and there whenever I had time in order to prepare something to bring. And then right up until 5 or 6 days before we arrived in Vrindavan, we met with Maharaj in Germany, and both Suchirani and I concluded that this was our Gopinath's arrangement. He was being kind to us and allowing us to have Maharaj's association for a couple of minutes because he wanted not to let us down too badly because we would be too inconvenienced to actually attend the retreat. And then we flew from Frankfurt to Delhi. We drove from Delhi to Vrindavan. And so practically speaking, we had no sleep at all. And my husband was supposed to come over and discuss with us the next step on a practical level with what we were encountering. And instead, he came wandering in at 5 o'clock or so in the morning. We hadn't had any rest that night, and was full of the same kind of vitality as Maharaj was about what he wanted to speak about at the retreat. So he shared a few moments of his subject matter with us, and we again thought that this was all that we were to receive. And then he insisted that we should pack up everything, Sik, Suchi included, and we should make our way out to Govardhan. And we all resisted the idea. It seemed to be quite impossible because of her condition and because of the fact that we had no rest or anything else. But somehow or another, we managed, and we packed everything up in a vehicle and arrived late for the retreat that evening. So I came with very little of what I had wanted to prepared. But then I realized when we got here that the thing that I had to share with the devotees was very important, and that was the opportunity to have some insights into what it's like for a devotee to become near to the possibility of death and all that includes. Because along the way I found there were many devotees who had not experienced or seen somebody go through this. And so some people felt very frightened, and other people felt very awkward. And some people who had experience in this area, they came forward with advice and suggestions. So what does this have to do with the retreat? I guess for me it was like a very powerful contrast. On one side, we all have to face the fact that whilst one person is experiencing extreme pain and discomfort and fear and anxiety and uncertainty and an extremely troubled mind over all their attachments, their family, everything else that is dear to them is now being put into a different perspective because they may have to leave all of these things at any time. That's on one side. And on the other side, we have Giriraj. So we're being given really seriously a choice. What do you want? Do you want to dedicate all of your mind and your attention and your energy to the things of this world? Even though we're asked, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises, Srila Prabhupada definitely insists that this is the process, that we take what we have in this world and we dedicate it. This is yukta vairagya. We take our body, our mind, we take our facilities, our capacities, our everything, and we try to dedicate these things, and simultaneously we try also to preach, because that means to do well, give well-being to others. Because as we try to help others, then Krishna, he becomes more and more kindly disposed towards ourselves. So yes, this is very real and very true, and this is the base and the basic substance of our lives. But when we come here to Govardhan, we come here for something further, something more than that, a deepening of something else that's essential for every devotee. And the question that kept arising in my mind, and also in the mind of Suchirani through the different crises that occurred over the month, was what is there that I can hold on to that goes beyond death? Because I can hold on to my family, but I'm not going to see them anymore. I can hold on to my friends, but what do I do? If the more attached I get to them, then that's going to cause me pain when I can't see them anymore. I can hold on to my body and my attributes and think, well, you know, I'm a very responsible person. I'm like this, I'm like that. Or, this is the deepest and heaviest one, this is the heaviest of all, I can do my devotional service to do a deal with Krishna, saying, listen, I'm going to chant my rounds, I'm going to go to the temple, I'm going to do all these things. You're not going to hurt me, are you? You're not going to separate me or disturb my situation, are you? And Krishna's going to say, it's inevitable, because your situation right now is unnatural and it's unreal, and you have to change it. And you've changed it millions and millions and millions of times already, and you've forgotten them all. And this time you have the possibility of changing it, because you have some consciousness, some Krishna consciousness. You have a possibility of changing it for your eternal situation, and that never changes. So what is beyond death? What is it that is our actual Krishna conscious destination? As devotees, at some point, whether we're new devotees or we're old senior devotees, we really need this question to become in the foreground of our thinking. And then we need answers to this question. And I would have to say that the most powerful places that one can come to seek this kind of association and this kind of insight are the holy dharms. And although there are different dharms, I would have to honestly say that my firm favorite of my own personal case is Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the fortune of being able to come and sit by the side of Giriraj for a week is immeasurable. You may not be able to recognize it immediately this trip, but when you go back, you will find something has slightly shifted in you. And if you come again, and you come again, then you start to become like an addict. You have to spend some time here in the year, or else everything else starts to really feel very pale and tasteless, and it's sort of a rather nervous feeling comes that I don't know when I'm going to die, and I haven't yet got a full enough conception of what is beyond death. And what is beyond death? There is a spiritual dimension. This is Krishna consciousness. This is, as Srila Prabhupada would say, to go back to Godhead. There is a transcendental realm where there is unlimited happiness, where there are the most wonderful loving relationships that don't have any of the cruelties and the harshness and the disappointments of this material realm, that don't have any of the grossness and the inferior qualities that we find in the world today, and not only today, that we find in the whole material world. That along with this, we find that there is a supreme person who is meant to be the center of all of our thoughts and all of our love and all of our activities. And this is Krishna. And we have to become, as Maharaj was saying, gradually or if we're very fortunate in a very determined way, we have to become eager, anxious to become saturated in Krishna consciousness. This is what Srila Prabhupada wanted, and it becomes, as you get older or more mature in your devotional service, it becomes like primary necessity to make your Krishna consciousness very strong and vital and real, because as we're here with the good fortune of having Suchi Rani's association to teach us something. On the way here, she was feeling very uncomfortable. Why am I going? I feel so in bad spirits and so discomforted. And I kept saying to her, no, you're coming to do a service. You're coming to teach something to the devotees. You came last year and you prayed and prayed and prayed that I want my Krishna consciousness to become real. But you didn't know what it meant for your Krishna consciousness to become real. It means that it has to become real. And this somehow or other is the circumstance in which Krishna has placed you so that you can do that. There's nothing wrong with your situation. There's actually nothing to fear. Although you and I too may be very fearful, there's nothing to fear. You're in the hands of Krishna and you're in the hands of Giriraj. So take your medicine and be prepared for the wonderful results that you prayed for. So this is what I think she has come, and I have come assisting in this way to give the devotees an opportunity to see, alongside hearing the wonderful qualities of Krishna and expanding through our hearing and seeing the different places of the Dhamma, increasing the positive impressions and sanskars. It's as if Krishna, on the other hand, he has a big stick and he says, if you can't learn any other way, just note, I have a big stick, and if you need it, I'm here with it. And we may think, oh, how terrifying. But actually, for a real devotee, this is the most comforting, reassuring thing, that he says, I'm going to take care of you no matter what it takes. I'm going to make sure that you get what you want. So this is something that I would like to say, that I've come myself to experience, and I would feel it an honor to share this with the other devotees. And lastly, I was speaking with my husband and Maharaj this morning and mentioning to them that on our travels, we ended up visiting. I tried to take Suchi Rani to as many temples as possible on our way here, because I wanted her to meet the devotees in different places, and for them, whoever Krishna sent, to give her some understanding, to give them some understanding, and to share with her their blessings, because this is essential for every one of us to receive the blessings of all the devotees. So we took with us a little book, and when we began our journey in Perth, I asked the devotees who were present to write something in that book, even the ones who didn't know her. People just wrote something, they didn't have to write anything deep or profound, but just something, and they signed their names. And on more than one occasion, as we were traveling, when she was in a critical time and no one was around, she found that book and she read that book, and it moved her very deeply just to see all these different names of people that were saying to her something from their own thoughts to give her encouragement. So I have that book with me, and I would like, if possible, if any devotees or as many devotees as possible could write something in it. Doesn't have to be a lengthy thing. You don't have to think very deeply. Sometimes it's quantity is also very important, along with quality. So we'll make that available, and please, if you could take some time before you leave today and write something for her, she would very, very much benefit from reading those things. So I think she's going to make an effort to come out for the bathing of Giriraj with the help of her son. And after that time, if anyone wants to write something, please let me know. So thank you again. Thank you for allowing me to come, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak something, because it's very difficult to think or speak unless there's a reason. So I feel very much grateful to Maharaj and all the devotees who've been involved in arranging everything, and my husband, of course, for this opportunity that we can all come together in this way and develop our Krishna consciousness. So thank you. Hare Krishna.
Om Agnate Mirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chakshu Samilitan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. One of the quotations, or actually we heard some of Prabhupada's introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. We heard his words, we didn't just read a quotation of his during the presentation that I made. But I'd like to read a short part of that right now. And please listen very carefully. I found this year as last year that Maharaj spoke first last year as he spoke this year, and Jagtwini Mataji spoke second as he, and then I spoke third. And I found that what I had to say fit very well with what they've already said. And indeed, my presentation really fit in with the messages that both Maharaj gave and Jagtwini Mataji gave. But please listen very carefully to this quite short part of Srila Prabhupada's introduction to the Bhagavad Gita that we heard coming from his own mouth, actually coming through his own mouth from his own heart, which is filled with Krishna prema. This is Prabhupada's advice to us from the Bhagavad Gita. Modern man has struggled very hard to reach the moon, but he has not tried very hard to elevate himself spiritually. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, he should engage that brief time in cultivating this practice of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This practice is the devotional process. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Syakyam, and
Atmanivedanam.
These nine processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person, will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being. This is what Maharaj was saying. This is what Jagatwini Mataji was saying. This, or having turned one's thought to the Supreme Being, which happens to be Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this will lead us to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one, upon leaving the body, which was what Mataji was speaking of, to attain a spiritual body, which is just fit for the association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord further says, Abhyasya yoga yuktena chetasananya gamina paramam purusham dibhyam yati partan uchintayan. He who meditates upon me, and this is what Maharaj was speaking of, and Jagatwini Maharaj was speaking of, and I recently heard a tape where Prabhupada said something that I never heard him actually say before, although I knew it, but I heard him directly say that one should live one's life as if his death was directly before him, and one should see the miseries that naturally come to us in our life as the symptoms of our material existence. The artificial material existence is symptomized by all the anxiety and all the miseries that we experience and discomforts that we experience in our life. So he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, which was the message that just before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he gathered everyone and told them, just think about Krishna, chant Krishna's name, not let another word escape from your mouth other than Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. This was his message before leaving the people. that he loves so dearly, because in that Krishna's association is there. So constantly, one's mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, such a person, Arjuna, is surely to reach me. From the Bhagavad Gita 8.8. Then Prabhupada continues, this is not a very difficult process. However, one must learn it from an experienced person. Tag viginartam segarun evam bikatschet. One must approach a person who is already in the practice. What practice? Always remembering Krishna. The mind is always flying to this and to that. And we all have our own this's and that's, but it's always going from one to the other and neglecting he who is supporting every this and every that. It's all resting upon Krishna. Sutra maniginaiva. The mind is always flying to this and that, but one must practice concentrating the mind always on the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, or on the sound of his name. The mind is naturally, what's the next word? Restless. I can think of another word or two or three that describe my mind. First one that comes to my mind is, although it is certainly restless, it's wicked, very naughty. But the mind is very restless, naturally restless, going hither and thither. But it can rest in the sound vibration of Krishna. One must thus meditate on Parama Purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual kingdom. So one must meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we know his name. And what is his name? Krishna. And another name?
Madan Gopal.
And another name?
Giridhari.
And another name? I didn't even hear Narayani Mataji say. Govinda. Yes, Govinda. So Prabhupada is speaking generally. After all, this is the Bhagavad Gita introduction here. It's not even the Bhagavad Gita. It's the prelude, the introduction. So one must meditate on the Supreme Person, the Parama Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual sky. So that spiritual kingdom, that topmost spiritual kingdom is Goloka Vrindavan. On this side, there is the material world. On this side, there is the spiritual kingdom. And the methodology of getting to this side is, what is Prabhupada explaining? We have to fix our mind upon him. And then what happens? One must thus meditate on the Parama Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual sky, and thus attain him. Unless, of course, we don't want to attain him and we're not willing to acknowledge who is the king of the kingdom. If we want to attain him but we want to be the king in the kingdom, then we have to come to this side in the material world and be an illusion, be covered by false ego, by be dreaming that, oh, I am the king of this, I am the king of that. But we will find that no one will cooperate with us as we imagine that I am the center of existence. Neither the material energy will cooperate with us, nor any other person either. They will remind us, both the material energy and all the other living entities in this world will remind us that we are simply insignificant. The last three sentences. The ways and means for ultimate realization, ultimate attainment. So we've been hearing about what that ultimate realization, ultimate attainment is. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and the door... It are stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and the doors of this knowledge are open for everyone. The doors are open
It is an open secret, but it is ultimately open. And we can take it. It is open and we can take it. No one is barred out. The doors are open and no one is barred out. Because Krishna says, Aham Bijapada Pita, he is the father of everyone. There is one poet who once said, home is that place where when you come, they cannot turn you away. So Prabhupada said, back to home, back to Godhead. No one is barred, the doors are open, and no one will be turned away. But we have to become somewhat qualified by removing so many things and transforming ourselves so that we actually want to be there. And then finally, in the last sentence, Prabhupada goes back to the methodology for attaining this. All classes of men can approach Lord Krishna by thinking of him. For hearing and thinking of him is possible for, and the last word in this, everyone. It is possible for everyone. That includes each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. This is Prabhupada's introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. And to help us come from, wake up from the dream, my presentation was on several verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the positive side. One was the shaking side to help us wake up, and the other side was something from the Bhagavatam. So let us return to that. But before we return to that meditation, because the spark of the desire that is in the heart to go there must be kept burning. It must be kept burning. And Maharaj began by saying, this is the first half of the retreat, and the second half is taking something with you. It behooves us to keep this, whatever sparks that we have gathered, it behooves us to keep them burning. On one side, it must keep burning. On the other side, as Jagtini Maharaj was just saying, we have to remember what the alternative is, what the dream actually means. It appears to be one thing, an illusion. It appears to be very inviting and full of promise, the dream does. But actually, it is a nightmare. It must end as a nightmare. It must. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that a person who has understood that, who has said and understood no, I do not want to be happy in this material world. It cannot make me happy. Such a person has taken the greatest step towards going back home, back to Godhead. The greatest step. I don't want to enjoy in the as the king of the kingdom of Maya, where I will be kicked forever. So, in the one verse that Srila Prabhupada, before he left India to come to the United States, in his Bhagavatams, the verse that he put in to characterize the Bhagavatam, what he wanted everyone to understand from the Bhagavatam, he put one verse right in the beginning of the first canto for everyone to see. Does anyone know what that verse is? It's Krishne Swadhamma Upagate. That Krishna Swadham, his own abode, Upagate. That Krishna has gone to his own abode. Dharman Gyanada Bisaha. And with him he has taken all knowledge and all religion. Kalo, and that plunges Kali Yuga into darkness. Without knowledge, with neither Krishna knowledge or religion, everything is dark, and that is the symptom of Kali Yuga. Krishne Sudam Ubagate Dharma Gyanadevi Saha Kalo Nashta Drisham Esha. in this Kali Yuga, people will get light. Por an arco, dunodita, from this book, Srimad Bhagavatam, which has arisen. Por an arco, the full sun, has arisen in Kali Yuga to give us life. We should take advantage of this. This is our heritage. It is meant for us. So, we'll conclude by just going over these verses right now. Mataji will sing. Oh yeah, but one thing. Before we do that, I wish everyone, as just as Maharaj said, to please look at Giriraj and take a very, very good shot of him, a snapshot in your mind. Take a good one. You can blink your eyes very quickly. You can snap the shutters open and closed. I think you said that last time, right? Something like that. Okay. Then come back and close your eyes and bring up your Krishna. Bring your Krishna there. Take your Krishna and without stepping on Giriraj, install him on Govardhan Hill. Your Krishna. If you don't have one, Jagatwini Mataji says, I suggest you borrow one from someone else. Huh? Or Radha Shyama Sundar. Okay. So put Krishna there. And then bring everything simple that you can think of very quickly, and the mind so fortunately can travel so quickly and gather things from anywhere and everywhere. Bring whatever you think will make Krishna happy and offer it to him. That includes personages, flower garlands, fruits and flowers, decorations, anything that you would like to make Krishna happy on Govardhan Hill. And then tell him your heart's desire, or you could tell any of the other personages that you may have brought your heart's desire. And with your eyes still closed, please now listen to those verses. Keep your eyes closed, though, and keep offering Krishna things and praying. And now we'll hear the words of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Lord Rama and Lord Krishna attained the age of Poganda, 6 to 10, while living in Vrindavan, the cowherd men allowed them to take up the task of tending the cows. Engaging thus in the company of their friends, the two boys rendered the land of Vrindavan most auspicious by imprinting upon it the marks of their lotus feet. Thus desiring to enjoy pastimes, Lord Madhava, sounding his flute, surrounded by cowherd boys who were chanting his glories, and accompanied by Lord Baladev, kept the cows before him and entered the Vrindavan forest, which was full of flowers and rich with nourishment for the animals. The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest, which resounded with the charming sound of bees, animals, and birds, and which was enchanted by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of hundred-petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. The primeval lord saw that the stately trees, with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers, were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your feet, at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. all original personality. These bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable lord. O worshipable one, these peacocks are dancing before you out of joy. These doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, just as the gopis do. And these cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. All these residents of the forest are most fortunate, and their behavior towards you is certainly befits great souls receiving another great soul at home. This earth has now become most fortunate, because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, and because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Sukadev Goswami said, thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the river Jamuna, below Govardhan Hill. What to take with you? Take everything with you. But don't take the Govardhan Shilas. But take them in your heart. What we're going to do now is that everyone should read the aspirations that they had for the retreat that everyone wrote down as the first thing we did in our opening meeting. We wrote down aspirations. But just before you read them at this moment, just wait. Read that first, and then after that, write down your realizations after the retreat. And then take all your realizations and write one sentence that summarizes and characterizes what you would like to tell others that you have realized here. One sentence only. But when you write down your realizations, you can write as much as you like, but in the end, write one sentence that characterizes your realizations and that you would like to share with others. And indeed, that one, we're going to ask everyone at the end to, we'll go around and everyone will share that one sentence that they wrote with others. And then third, please write down a prayer to Giriraj, the prayer of your heart. And then after you've written that down, everyone will get one of these books, which is a work of art. Taraka Mataji has made these, handmade these, and you'll see that embossed with Giriraj on here, and everyone will get one. Thank you,
Taraka,
for it.